Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
Welcome to Restoration Service. It is a pleasure and an honor to be used by God to bring such a service forward in the name of Jesus Christ. So welcome, everybody. I'm Pastor Tawanika Manning, and today we're talking about here in Restoration Service, a little bit different from any other service. Basically, what we're doing here is we're here in Restoration Service. It's a time of help. For everyone that believes, that joins in today and in the future, to be restored by overcoming life obstacles, things that we face every day through the Word of God, and allowing the Word of God to change us, transform us, amen, and renew us, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's allowing the Scripture to heal and to deliver us once and for all through faith, the faith that you have. Amen. So today we will be overcoming the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. You all, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. And before I dive into that scripture, let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for one more time, Lord God, that you allowed us to be here, Father God, in the land of the living, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to learn, Lord God. So we ask in Jesus' name, Father God, that you will bless us with divine revelation and knowledge and understanding of your word and all that we will receive here in Restoration Service, that all will be renewed, restored, hallelujah, made new by your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you right now, Father God, for what you're doing in restoration service today, what you've already done and what you're about to do for those who believe and receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you have your way in this restoration service, bringing restoration to all, that we will be delivered and set free once and for all, not going back. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says when the Son sets you free, that you are free indeed. So we are free indeed, and we decree and declare right now by our faith and in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and the power of his blood that covers us, that keeps us, that protects us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, everybody, once again to Restoration Service. If it's your time, your first time tuning in, if you're just now tuning in, this is our first session of Restoration Service. We offer gospel public ministries. My husband, Pastor Dorsey Manning, and myself, Tawanika Manning. So we're so grateful to be able to have this opportunity here to come every second Tuesday of the month to be able to have restoration service, you know, restoring. And when we think about the word restoration and what does restoration mean, it means the action of returning something to its former condition, a former owner or place. So being restored, how many of us want to be restored, you know, to go back to the days of our youth? You know, we've gotten older. Some of us gotten older. Some of us are dealing with things. It was times when we were able to run that mile or, you know, eat and not gain weight. You know, we had everything that we needed and wanted, the house, the car, you know, the relationship, the children were, you know, doing what they were supposed to do, and everybody was together. The family was unified and on one accord. How many of us want to be restored and our life with Christ was, you know, we were on one accord. We were operating the way that God had commanded us to operate in love, hallelujah, with forgiveness. How many of us want to be restored? So that's what restoration is, and that's what restoration service is, to restore us, to help us, to grow us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ by using the word of God, using the word that God has given us, hallelujah. For God's word brings healing, brings deliverance, it restores us, it renews, it makes all things new, it heals us. So that's what we're here to receive, and let your mind be set on that. But come believing to receive all that you're asking God to do in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in agreement. So we come together in agreement today to be restored, to be renewed, to receive, hallelujah, the newness of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So be restored today. Be renewed by all that will be given today here in restoration service. So again, today we're going to be restored. We're going to be talking about the spirit of fear. How do we overcome that? Where does it come from? You know, and giving scripture. And hopefully this will help all. As I am serving it, I am eating from the plate. Amen. So going back to the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you all, again, the Bible says, if you go with me here, I'll give you all a moment to get there. Again, there's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Amen. Amen. While you all pull that scripture, I'm going to grab a little bit of water. Thank God for all that he is doing right now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank everybody that's here today, considering our first day, which is second Tuesday of every month, that you took the time out. I know for some people they are working, they would love to be on, but these shows are lessons, I should say, on Blog Talk Radio is archived. And so they will be up for a time period and then they'll be taken down after the month. So this particular lesson and service will be available through this month and then it'll be removed after this month when the next one is set up. So if anybody missed it, they can always go back and be able to hear it and let it minister to them. So here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Father God asks in Jesus' name that you add a blessing to the reader, the hearer, and most of all the doers of your word. Again, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen? Amen. That's what God has given us, you all. God has given us. And I want to go to the previous scripture that says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God in you through the laying on of my hands. And then verse 7, of course, says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So when we look at the scripture here in verse 6 and 7, you all here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And the Apostle Paul is speaking, and we're going to talk more about what Apostle Paul is saying. But here in the scripture, he's talking about Timothy. So at the time, you all, of his ordination, Timothy had received special gifts of the Spirit to enable him to serve the church. So here, in telling Timothy to store up the gift of God, this is Apostle Paul speaking. Paul was encouraging him. Apostle Paul was encouraging him to preserve, you all. Timothy did not need new revelations or new gifts. He needed the courage and self-discipline to hang on to the truth and to use the gifts he had already received. Amen? So if Timothy would step out boldly in faith and proclaim the gospel once again, and see, I want you all to understand, when you have the Holy Spirit is bold. So the Holy Spirit will give you the boldness and the confidence that you need to overcome the fear. So the Holy Spirit would go with him. You all would go with Timothy and give him power. So when you use the gifts that God has given you, you will find that God will give you the power that you need. Amen. So clearly Timothy's spiritual gift had been given to him when the Apostle Paul and the elders had laid their hands on him and set him apart for ministry. So God gives all Christian gifts to use to build up the body of Christ. And he gives special gifts to some through church leaders, you all, who serve as God's instruments. Hallelujah. So Timothy was experiencing great opposition, you all, to his message and to himself as a leader. So his youth and his association with Apostle Paul and his leadership had come under fire from believers and non-believers alike. So Apostle Paul urged him to be bold. And when we allow people to intimidate us, we neutralize our effectiveness for God. So as we're talking about today, you know, the spirit of fear, he was dealing with the spirit of fear, but God does not give us the spirit of fear. So the power of the Holy Spirit can help us overcome our fear of what some might say or do to us, you all, so that we can continue to do God's work. Amen. So Paul here in verse 7, Apostle Paul mentions three characteristics, you all, of the effective Christian leader, which is power, love, and a sound mind, which is wisdom. So these are available to us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So follow his leading each day so that your life will morally fully and exhibit these characteristics. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, you all. Amen. So that the Holy Spirit is of the Holy Spirit that liveth in us will guide us and keep us, and we're able to overcome the spirit of fear. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of us are dealing with fear, things that are going on in the government. And, you know, as I'm praying with different people during this time, that God has called me on assignment, a lot of people are dealing with that spirit of fear of what's going on with the government and, you know, the spirit of fear of what's going on in the land with the coronavirus. And just so many people fear of death and just so many things that people are fear of, you know, not having enough or they won't have the money, they won't have the job or someone leaving them, you know, that spirit of fear. And we're going to come against it. The more you know and understand how that spirit operates and know that it's not of God, so it should not be of you. And then how do you overcome that, you know, and how do you stay being an overcomer? Because you are overcoming through Christ. And it is Christ, hallelujah, that liveth in you, that changes you so that you do not have to fear. When we look in the book of Jeremiah, you all, we're going to dive in more into the topic today. When we look in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 12 through 17, that's Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 12 through 17, the Bible says, "For thus says the Lord, your affliction is incurable, your wound is severe, there is no one to plead your cause, that you may be bound up, you have no healing medicines, all your lovers have forgotten you, they do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction?" That is a question. Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because of your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. And then the Bible says in verse 16, therefore all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plundered, and all who prey upon you I will make a prey. And then verse 17 says, for I will restore help to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, and this is Zion, no one seeks her. So we're talking about restoration, dealing with fear here. Amen. So in the Bible, I want you to understand just the breakdown of this particular scripture, because this is restoration service, and because we are talking about fear, why this scripture is important to all, knowing that God will restore you, knowing that God will heal you, your wounds, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. Though we operate outside of the will of God, because he cares, he loves us, he's a just God, he's a forgiving God, all-knowing and all-seeing God. So even here in this scripture, the medical language here conveys the idea that sin is terminal. Sin is like a cancer that eats away at us. So simple people cannot be cured by being good or being religious. So be aware, you all, of putting your confidence in useless cures while your sin spreads and causes you pain. God alone can cure the disease of sin, but you must be willing to let him do it. Hallelujah. And when you allow God to do it, you all, you can be restored, renewed. You can once and for all do away with the fear, hallelujah, and know that when you do fall down, that you can get back up again, hallelujah, that God is a forgiving God, and you don't have to operate in the fear, am I forgiven, oh Lord, has God forgiven me, oh here I go again, oh, but knowing that God is with you, hallelujah, if God be for you, who could be against you, be restored, be renewed today, hallelujah, overcoming the spirit of fear. If you're just not tuning into restoration service, we are talking about the spirit of fear. Fear. A lot of us have dealt with fear at some point of our life. You ever been, I've been feeling well, and you was in fear. Some people are fear of going to the doctor or worry about, oh, what the doctor going to say? Oh, if they're going to say this, am I going to need surgery? Just, you know, fear of loving someone. You know, some people are afraid of being in love. We won't love, but the fear of being hurt, of having someone that will leave us, and just operating in fear, or losing our job and not being able to take care of our bills and our needs. You know, just that fear that robs us of peace. You know, when we operate in fear, it robs us of the peace. So we see the peace that Jesus said he gives. He said, not that of the world that I give you, and the world can't take it away. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding, because when we have the peace of Christ, it doesn't matter if the, let me try to break this down more to you. If we receive the peace that the world gives, when the world takes it away, we will lose our peace. So when we talk about that, if it's money, that's your peace. When you get money, you got peace. When you get somebody, you got peace. When you have food, it brings peace. When you have this job, you have peace. But the moment it's taken away from you, you lose your peace. So that's why Jesus is saying, I give you peace and not that of the world, the things of the world, because once it's taken away, it'll shake you, it'll break you, it'll break you down. Then you're operating in fear and worry, and then you have, and then you operate with the spirit of anxiety. You know, it brings on all these other things. So God is saying, I want to restore you, I want to heal you, be delivered, be set free, but you got to be willing to receive Christ and receive the change, and that brings about restoration. Then you can live your life in fullness and wholeness and completeness, hallelujah, with the peace that only God can give, amen, and nothing will shake or move you. You know, things can happen and people will be looking at you like, what? You know, I would be just devastated. I mean, I would be just everywhere. I would just die. And you hear people say that if that was to happen to them, but they have the peace, hallelujah, the peace that Jesus has given us, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And I've had I have that peace that God's, I've received that peace. I'm telling you, I've been through some things, and if it had not been for the peace that Jesus Christ has given us, there is no way, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. When I lost my grandmother, who was more like my mother, I said, oh, Lord, what would I do if something happened to my grandmother? So I had that fear as a kid, like if something happened to my grandmother, I would just be devastated. She was the backbone of the family. And when that day did come, hallelujah, because I had the peace of Jesus Christ, I was able to accept it and rejoice, hallelujah, and all that had taken place, and knowing that she was in a better place. Amen? So I'm just taking a little bit of water, you all here. You know, God bless you. God, keep all this here. And tell somebody about restoration services. I hope you all are enjoying it so far, as we're going to dive deep into, you know, the spirit of fear. The Bible says in Psalm 51 and 12, one of my favorite scriptures, you all, it says, hallelujah, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me, hallelujah, by your generous spirit. Amen. Restore, be restored today as we overcome the spirit of fear. And I want to ask you a question. Do you ever feel stagnant in your faith as though you're just going through the motions? Have you ever felt that way? Has sin ever driven a wedge between you and God, making him seem distant at times? See, David felt this way, you all. He had sinned with Bathsheba, and you all know the story about that. He had just been confronted by Nathan the prophet, and in his prayer, he cried, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Father God." God wants us to be close to him and to experience his full and complete, and experience full and complete life, y'all. But sin that remains unconfessed, y'all, makes such intimacy impossible. Confess your sin to God. Be restored. Be renewed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You may still have to face some earthly consequences, y'all, as David did, but God will give back the joy of your relationship with him as you overcome fear and trusting God, confessing thy sins, and just, you know, and then thanking God for what he's done and what he's doing in your life. Amen. So let's talk about fear. How many of us are either dealing with fear right now? How many of us can be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, I deal with fear daily? You know, some people are afraid to even leave their homes, you know, afraid to go out. I remember I was in a car accident, a really bad car accident on 610 freeway, and I had my children in the car, and it was so bad. I was afraid to get in the car to drive with anyone. I was afraid to let my children get in the car. They were really small kids back then, and I was just in fear, and I was trying to figure out, how do I overcome this? Like, every time I would look in the rearview mirror, and I would jump, you know, the car getting too close. Oh, the car. And it was just, I mean, I had anxiety and fear because of what happened that was traumatic. You know, how many of us have had a traumatic experience in our life, and, you know, and we were just, you know, you were living in fear, whatever it was, you know. So we want to overcome that. You know, we can be honest with ourselves that, you know what, I am dealing with that. You know, though I say I'm a Christian and I believe, you know, I'm still, you know, dealing with that. Can we be honest with ourselves and say, I am dealing with fear? How do I overcome that? I pray about it, but after I get through praying, I go back to that thing. I pick up fear. How do I get rid of that once and for all and operate, you know, in true faith and believing God? How do I operate in true peace, the peace that God gives? You know, how do I operate being whole and renewed? Hallelujah, and restored. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see people are coming in right now. God bless you. If you just now logging on today with Restoration Service, hallelujah, we thank God. Let's talk about fear and being no longer afraid here. Imagine being terrorized, you all. Your life continually threatened, your heart gripped with fear. Imagine every day waking to the thought, this day could be my last day. This, the last for my family, the last for my friends. Imagine you all living in the constant fear of being burglarized and brutalized, vandalized and victimized, mauled and murdered. I mean, that kind of fear. Now, all of a sudden, someone appears out of the blue, instructing you to do the unthinkable, take action, and fight those fears. You fight against it. Fight, stand up and fight this thing that's been robbing you, stealing, you know, stealing your joy, stealing your peace. You know, when we operate in fear, how we don't have any peace. We're constantly on the alert, the lookout. But such an idea of fighting those fears. Think about it, but such an idea is impossible, even for those that you think that, oh, they have it all, they have it all together, but not knowing on the inside what they're actually dealing with. You know, thinking about this is preposterous. So especially for Gideon, we know we talked about Gideon on Saturday, who is inclined to flee in the face of fear. You know, the Bible tells us that God ordained him a man of courage, you know, a man of valor. But he was dealing with so much fear, even though God told him, I'm with you. You know, he still was dealing with fear and trusting in man. So now imagine trying to thresh wheat, you all, in a wine press of all places. Think about that. To thresh you all, to separate the chaff from the wheat, a gentle breeze in the outdoor air is needed to winnow you all the chaff. So as all is thrown up into the air, both chaff and wheat, the wind blows away. So the lightweight chaff and the heavier wheat falls to the ground. But in a wine press, you all, the surrounding walls prevent the wind from blowing in the center, and threshing is not likely to be affected. So here you all, so here you are in hiding, you know, fearing for your life, frightening an uphill battle for a few grains of wheat. So at this point, the angel of the Lord appears saying, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So he's addressed. He addresses you as what? What's this, mighty warrior? Who? You? You? Who, me? Me? No. Ain't no way. You can't be talking about me. So, yes, imagine being asked to do something that you know you can't do. Like Gideon, you are, rather than attempting to meet the challenge, you find yourself responding, "Thanks, but no thanks. You got the wrong person. Not me. That's Sister Dillon. Not me. Dr. Vina Dundon. No. D. Kimberly. Ain't no way. Me, Jordan. I can't do it. That's how they commanded. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. Me, Dorita Jones. I ain't going to be able to do that, Pastor. I ain't going to be able to do that, Lord. He'll tell God, oh, no, no, not me, God. No. Find somebody else." So, however, the angel announces that you are to lead the battle against your greatest enemy, an enemy that vastly outnumbers your army, one greatly feared by everyone and feared for a good reason. See, the mammoth of the Midianites, you all, have been ravaging and ransacking your people at will, leaving death and destruction in their wake. So how is the question? Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, you all, the Midianites have, and other enemies invaded the country. They run the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkey. And we find this in the book of Judges in chapter 6 through 34. Now, understandably, your heart is terrorized with fear. With fear. Hallelujah. With fear. But we thank God that he's not giving us a spirit of fear. You all, fear is a strong emotional reaction to a preconceived imminent danger characterized by a fight, flight, or freeze response. You ever been in fear? You just couldn't move. Like, oh, my goodness. You know, it just stops you in your track. Or you just take off, or you begin to fight because you're in fear. So you'll begin to fight that, you know, whatever it is because of fear. Not even knowing because of fear is overtaking you. You begin to fight or you take off. So fear can be a real, can be real or imagined, you all. So rational or irrational, normal, or it can be abnormal. Amen. It can be normal, abnormal. So fear acts as a protective reaction placed in us by our Creator to attract, to activate, you all, to activate all of our physical defense systems. So when we face real danger, fear triggers the release of adrenaline in the body that both prepares and propels us to action, often called fight or flight. So fear is a natural emotion designed by God. However, fearfulness is not designed by God. For fearfulness, you all, suggest living in a state of fear. Living in a state of fear. Fear is a translation of the Hebrew word yare, which means to be afraid. So stand in awe or fear. So when Gideon, you all, was trying to thresh wheat in the winepress, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, he was afraid. He was afraid, according to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 27. And, you know, and when you have fear, you deal with anxiety. You know, man becomes anxiety, becomes more. You know, some people can't work because of the anxiety. Some people can't go out into the world because of the anxiety, the fear that brings on the anxiety. So, y'all, after the heavenly messenger delivers his initial instruction to Gideon, quickly questions if the Lord is really with us, why has all of this evil happened? And Gideon makes it most clear, if God wants a deliverer, I am definitely not the man for the job. So this is Gideon speaking, not me. So after all, he is the least of the family belonging to the weakest clan in the small tribe of Manasseh. And we talked about this on Sunday when we were talking about that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But Gideon explains, how can I save Israel? You know, cowering with the acts of anxiety. So he was dealing with anxiety. Fear brings on anxiety. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God, today we're going to be delivered from this fear, understanding how do we overcome fear. Just give you a little bit of something you all in the Bible recorded to Gideon, if you know the story. You know, he became what God called him to be. You know, he was able to go up, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ and defeat those, his enemies, and overcome and overthrow them, amen. So I want you to understand with anxiety, how many of us are dealing with anxiety today? Anxiety is a psychological and psychiatric world. You are, it's the umbrella word of covering, you know, varying degrees of worry and fear, ranging from mild to extreme, you know, and it leads to depression. You know, some people become manic depressive because then you got fear, you got anxiety, now it's grown to more, you know, now it's raging, you know, hallelujah, and it's going up. So, but God, deliverer, don't we know God to be a deliverer, God to be a healer, amen. Anxiety is an uneasiness, you all, of distress over a threat or something unknown, and it's characterized by extreme worry or brooding fear. Anxiety stems from uncertainty. You know, the unknown, not knowing and hoping something will happen, but having no guarantee that it will, or fearing something will happen, but having no control over whether it will or not happen. You know, some people, they worry that, oh, I'm going to get on this road, something's going to happen. Oh, and then they finally get back home. Every day living like that is with no peace. So anxiety can lead to catastrophic thinking, you know, overestimating the likelihood of danger or a negative outcome. You are, anxiety becomes a disorder when it becomes so intense that it dominates a person's thoughts, feelings, and actions, preventing the person from living a normal life, living a peaceful life. You know, it is so many, you know, anxiety disorders that people are dealing with today. I don't know about you, but I know within my family, I know people that have dealt with anxiety. I've dealt with it. I think I was in my early 20s. I went to the hospital, thought I was having a heart attack, didn't know what was going on, and it was all anxiety. It was all anxiety. I was experiencing what they call a panic attack, You know, have any of us heard of a, you know, panic attack? You know, lots of people deal with panic attacks, and they have them more often than, you know, than others. But I was finding myself having these panic attacks. I probably was around 21, 24 years old, you know, finding myself in the hospital thinking it's something else. I'm having a heart attack. What's going on? But I was having a panic attack, you know, couldn't breathe, trying to catch my breath. So, you know, understand, what is that, a panic attack? Panic attacks are sudden, brief episodes of tense fear. You know, and then we're dealing with fear. That's where fear comes from. That's where fear is birthed from. I mean, that's where panic attacks are birthed from fear. So it's with multiple physical symptoms such as, you know, heart palpitation and dizziness, you know, shortness of breath, but without any external threat. So panic attacks are typically unexpected, out of the blue, you all, and these out of the blue experiences that people are having, or I don't have them anymore, thank God I've been delivered from that, you know. So the first time they occur, people are usually involved in normal activities such as walking outside, and suddenly a barrage of frightening sensation strikes them, lasting just a few seconds or a few minutes. So panic attacks can occur again at any time, y'all. And it suffers, know that just the fear of having another attack can trigger one. And so these episodes take on a life of their own. I don't know if you ever had it, but there are people that experience them daily and just afraid of having it, driving or just being in a place and then all of a sudden breaking out in a panic attack. Panic attacks can be considered fear out of control. So they can be considered fear out of control. Now, the question I know you are asking, can I do anything to stop a panic attack? And the question is yes. The answer was not the question. The answer is yes. When you first begin to experience shallow, rapid breathing, you all recognize these symptoms as the initiation of hyperventilation, which reduces the carbon dioxide in the blood. So such a condition, y'all, produces classic symptoms of a panic attack, which is, you know, lightheadedness, dizziness, tingling of the extremities, and palpitation of your heart. So feelings of faintness and respiratory distress. However, let the onset of the rapid breathing severe as a warning sign, and serve as a warning sign to you. So these symptoms can be stopped by using different techniques, you all, like, you know, take slow, deep breaths. You know, we're talking about the panic attack. So deep breaths and hold the air in your lungs for a number of seconds. Then slowly release the air. Amen. when you're having these panic attacks, and place the open end of a paper bag. And if you've had it before, you've heard of these instructions before. Put it around your nose and mouth. Breathe normally into the bag. Be sure to breathe in the same air being expelled. And then place a blanket or sheet totally over your head. And doing so, it will increase the amount of carbon dioxide being taken into your lungs and ward off the frightening symptoms producing by too little carbon dioxide in your blood. So you are, when you experience a panic attack, you can feel as if you will die. But that feeling is not based on fact. The truth is, you will not die. So whatever you perceive, enemy, claim this truth as you go to war against your panic attack. The Lord says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 through 4, do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not be terrified or give way to panic before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory. Amen. Use the scripture. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. So you all just kind of, you know, open up with a little understanding about fear and anxiety and how it births worry, it births sickness, and, you know, it breaks the body down. But we can overcome that. Hallelujah. Lord, today, like from the days of our youth, where we didn't worry about anything. Hallelujah. Everything was new and it was exciting, and we couldn't wait to do more, to go outside and play and enjoy. Hallelujah. All that God had created in this world for us to enjoy. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, when we talk about fear, as it leads to panic attacks and phobias and, you know, just different things that come about when we're dealing with that spirit of fear, dealing with the spirit of fear. You know, let's talk about a little bit of what are some of the symptoms of normal, you know, versus abnormal of fear, because there's such thing as having normal fear, you know, it's abnormal fear and then abnormal fear. So I know some of us are asking, you know, why would God give us, you know, I thought we don't have fear. I thought God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But there's a such thing as normal fear. And what is that? You know, why would God give us the emotion of fear if it could be, you know, detrimental to us? You know, that's the question. And the answer is found. You are asking another question. If at this moment you were surprised by an assailant with a knife in his hand, would you want to benefit? Would you want the benefits of fear? So put a check mark by the symptom you would experience. So of those benefits include apprehension to proceed with caution, you know, breathing increase to deliver more oxygen to the body. You know, we're talking about normal fear, you all, or energy increase to provide the fuel to take immediate action, or heart rate increase to fuel your muscles with the blood, or, you know, hyper alertness, you all, to increase awareness of danger, you know, mind racing to provide options to consider, you know, to get out which way to take, hallelujah, muscles contracting to prepare for the fight or flight reaction, you know, perspiration increase to cool the body down and prevent overheating, you know, pupils being dilated to increase vision, especially at night, the sense of heightened for the purpose of dealing with the fear object, you all, you know, sleep lesson to provide more awake time, you know, talking increase to aid in communication about the problem. So that's dealing with, you know, the normal fear, if that makes any sense to us, and all that's in attendance today. But that's normal fear. When we talk about normal fear, you know, to help you get out, to keep you alert and awake, and to be able to know how to deal with these things and to keep the body stable. Amen. And then when we talk about abnormal fear, and we're going to take a little music break and we're going to come back and, you know, talk more about how do we deal with this? How do we overcome it, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But when we talk about normal fear, you all, when abnormal fear exists, the level of fear is way out of proportion to the actual situation. In fact, the fear may be totally unrelated to the situation. So abnormal fear can then result in a panic attack. So the person with this abnormal fear can identify with this anguish cry, my heart. You know, we're talking about the book of Psalms in chapter 55, verse 4 through 7. It says, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death assail me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I will fly away and be at rest. I will flee far away and stay in the desert. So a person experiences a panic attack when four or more of the following symptoms occur and each reach a peak within 10 minutes or less. So the body cannot sustain the fight or flight for longer than that time. So I want to talk about the symptoms that you may have or have experienced, you know, when dealing with the abnormal fear, you are like chest pain or discomfort, feeling like you are having a heart attack or chills or hot flashes or feeling like you must get to the hospital or choking sensation, you know, difficulty swallowing or feeling like your throat is about to close in on you, cold hands, tingling sensation, feeling like you are going to, like you're going numb, you know, detached sensation, feeling like you or losing touch with reality or yourself, you know, dizziness and lightheadedness, or feeling like you are going to faint, you know, fear losing control, feeling like you're going crazy, hyperventilating, shortness of breath, feeling like you are smothering, you know, nausea, diarrhea, abdominal pain, excuse me, my tongue is getting twisted up, and cramping, feeling like you have a life-threatening disease, you know, rapid heart rate, pounding, a pounding heartbeat, feeling like your heart is going to just jump out of your chest. I've had these symptoms where I've been in the hospital dealing with that abnormal fear, you all, and sweating and excessive perspiration, and feeling like you are a huge embarrassment, you know, a terror of dying, you know, having that fear, feeling like you are, you sure I'm about to die? You know, if you have that type of fear, you're like, I'm about to die. My time is coming. I'm about to die. That's that abnormal fear, trembling or shaking, feeling like you are doomed. You know, people with abnormal fear are not as afraid of the object of their fear as they are of the symptoms of their fear. So, and indeed, their fear is great. So they experience the same feelings that Job had. We look in the book of Job, Job chapter 30, verse 15. The Bible says, terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away as by the wind, and my safety vanishes like a cloud. So, you know, there are many in the Bible that experience this type of fear, this type of fear. So, amen. You all, I'm gonna open up the lines before I go to a music break. We have about 19 minutes here in restoration service. If you all have any questions, and I'm sure as we're gonna be picking up back here talking about spirit of fear next week and talk about what causes fear. You know, what are some of the causes of fear? You know, what happens, you know, what happens in the human body. And then again, how do we overcome it? You know, what are the solutions to overcoming fear, you know, to get up and go and, you know, allow God to be our strength, receive in Christ and moving, you know, now moving in the peace that God gives and the confidence and boldness of the Holy Spirit that developed in us. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to open up the line for you. If you have a question and you want to ask that question or give a comment, just press 1 at this time. Amen. And then I'll call the last 4 digits of your phone number. Amen. So if you have any questions or comments at this time, just press 1. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Press 1 at this time. Amen. Amen. So you all, we're going to take a little music break and we'll, okay, we have a last 4 digits of your phone number. I know it is your sister, Evangelist Kimberly Redford. Welcome. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. I just want to thank you for the lesson because, you know, I've seen so many people that were so God-fearing before COVID, and now it's like they're all, not all, but like so many are walking in fear, and, you know, they're just so panicky because they're paying so much attention to the media, and it's like God's scripture never changed. God hasn't given us that spirit, and so that's what you broke down everything, and it's very beneficial for all of us to take heed to the words that you share with us, because we have to realize that God is not controlled by things that go on in this world. And if we say that we're going to follow him, we have to not be controlled by him either. Of course, be aware and be mindful that we do have to take precautions and everything, but don't walk in fear. So thank you for sharing wonderful lessons. It's very beneficial for us.
Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Thank you so much. you know, that just and you can't align. And I thank God for you for being, you know, allowing yourself to be used, because sometimes a lot of us want to ask questions, but we don't know how to ask the question, or in fear of, you know, sounding like, oh, I don't know, or somebody gonna judge me, or being embarrassed. But and that's just the enemy, you all, because God does not give us that kind of that spirit of fear.
Exactly.
You know, that we can
is a part of fear. Yeah, being worried about what people think.
Yeah, fearful. Yeah, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want people to say anything or talk about me.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like I'm dumb. I don't want to ask that question because that sounds dumb. I should know that. You know, that's fear.
Right.
And so, I thank you for, you know, being open to come on and say, because you probably said something that everybody needs to hear, and that's true. That's what's happening right now. People are running. I mean, just so afraid, I'm telling you, of everything. Just trust God. Take precautions. Like Evangel said, we have to take precautions.
But
trust God and everything.
Amen.
Thank you, sister. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you all. Just, you know, fear has really overtaken the land with so many of us, and a lot of people are sick because, you know, fear is like a cancer, you know, and if we continue, and fear brings along worry, and it brings along stress. And from my research, you know, what I've known is that they say stress is the number one cause of people having cancer, because it eats away at the cell. It breaks the cell down. And so you all just receive what God has for you. And it's not the spirit of fear. We're talking about the abnormal fear. You know, he gives us fear to be able to, you know, to get out of situations, to be able to protect us. But it's not the abnormal fear that we discussed today here in Restoration Services. So be restored today. And, you know, we're talking about Gideon. You know, Gideon is the man that God destined to be one of the greatest leaders in history. And so to fear the army, God promises to defeat. You know, so there are two major reasons. You are, first, Gideon lacks military experience. And secondly, he has lived under the oppression of the savage Midianites for 7 years. So these facts alone are enough to cause Gideon to doubt God's declaration of war against the Midianites. You know, even the things that we're dealing with in this world right now. So God makes sure to ever would leave anyone completely paralyzed with fear. So your Gideon is to go against an army thick as a locust. You all, we look in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 12, numbered 135,000. And he is to do this not with an army larger than Midian's, not with a comparable army of the same size, and not even with his present small army of 32,000. So we're talking about 135,000 to 32,000, just one-fourth of their size, but with a drastically reduced and much, much smaller army. And why is this? The Lord specifically states so that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her. You understand? The strength of the Lord, no matter what it is, God will be your strength to overcome. Hallelujah. Let God be your strength. I was telling someone the other day, I think in service or maybe in a lesson, that when we go in our own strength, see, a lot of us trying to do things in our own strength, but when you ask God for God to give you, to be your strength and go in the strength of the Lord, you will overcome any and every obstacle in your life. You are already victorious by faith. Receive it. So God gives Gideon an unimaginable directive. Hallelujah. Those who are fearful can return home instantly. 22,000 men are eliminated. So while these men had enough faith to fight, they did not have enough faith to fight fearlessly. And something God required of Israel when going into battle. So the fundamental principle, you all, here, what is the fundamental principle? Ultimately, fear contaminates faith. So a little bit of fear contaminates your whole faith. You can have 99%, 9% of faith and have 1% of fear, and it contaminates your whole faith. Can you imagine you make a whole thing of Kool-Aid and somebody come in and drop a little bit of pee in the Kool-Aid? Are you still going to drink the Kool-Aid? It contaminates the whole thing and nobody wants to drink it. I'm just giving an example. I know you're going to pass it down. Why did you have to say pee? I don't know, but it just came to me. Hallelujah. And then the whole thing is contaminated. So now only 10,000 remains in Gideon's race, y'all. Then God states what seems absurd, still too many men. Come on. He said, now still too many men. still too many. So the situation that evoked no fear in some people are the same situations that evoke great fear in others. So what makes the difference? That's the question. What makes the difference? Perception, you all. Perception makes the difference. The perception of the person feeling the fear. So notice that Gideon is not one of the fearful men who return home. His perception has begun to change. So your perception of a situation affects both the degree of your fear and how much fear you will feel, and the way you will respond to your fear, what you will do because of your fear. So fear, you are, is a natural human reaction to feeling threatened, or either physically or emotionally. Amen? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So now your perception has changed. Now, why is the perception changed? Because you know who is on your side. You know who goes before you. Amen? You know that if God be with you, hallelujah, who can be against you? Did you know now that you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. So then you can go face the army, hallelujah, of 135,000, and then you walk in, you only got, what is like 4 or 5 of y'all, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus Christ. If you know the story about Jonathan and his armor bearer that went against the army, I can't remember, I remember if it's the Philistine army that his father and they were sleeping, and they went out and he said, we're going to go in the name of the Lord, hallelujah, and they conquered the army. They began to flee. So when you know who goes before you, who goes with you, goes before you and is with you, hallelujah, and then your perception changed. So here Gideon, his perception began to change, amen, hallelujah. So if you're dealing with fear, understand that you can overcome it. You can overcome that thing that's been robbing you of your peace, robbing you of your joy, robbing you of your happiness, hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Believing and receiving in Jesus' name. God is able, hallelujah, but are you willing to receive it? And no, it's one thing, you got to believe it, and then you receive it. And each and every day you wake up, hallelujah, that thing that was robbing you of your peace and your joy and happiness, that thing that had you shaking in your bed and fear to go to sleep, or fear that you wasn't going to wake up, now you can decree and declare that I'm going to overcome, hallelujah, because Christ is in me, hallelujah, and I'm already overcoming. So now you ain't got the word, because you give it all to God each and every day. You give it all over to God. Be restored, hallelujah, be renewed every day. We need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, placing your eyes and ears to the word of God, hallelujah, so then you're not operating and living in fear. Now you're delivered and you're set free, hallelujah. You're no longer in bondage, hallelujah, no longer in prison by fear. Now you can go out and live life. Now you can stay at home and don't have to worry. Know that God is with you. Amen. Amen. You all, we're going to take a quick music break right here, and then we're going to wrap up the last few minutes of restoration service. We'll see here. Maybe Pastor Manny will have a word for us here as we wrap up. Stay with us, you all, here. I'm so excited. I hope you all are enjoying restoration service, as we're going to hit on so many different topics and subjects just to be restored, be renewed, be delivered, and be set free. And I thank God for everyone here. Hallelujah. We'll be right back and wrap it up here. Don't go nowhere. Stay right there.
Oh.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. What better song to praise than say, shake yourself loose. Be free, be free, be restored. Hallelujah. Overcome the fear. How many of us are dealing with fear? Can we honestly say it? That we're dealing with fear right now. Would you share that with us in these last few minutes? Or you were dealing with fear, and now you've overcome that fear. Amen. If you would share that with us today by pressing one. If you were dealing with fear, but you fear no more. You know, if you want to share that with our listeners today, you know, I shared a little bit about what I was dealing with. I didn't even know that I was in fear. You know, the fear was overtaking me, you know, when I was in that car wreck, you know, and it was a traumatic experience, you know, especially to have your children in the car with you. And I just thanking God and everybody was okay. But by looking at the car, you would have thought life was taken away, but it wasn't. And their car was turned into a two-seater. But how many of us can be honest with ourselves and say, you know what, I prayed and I was getting the word, but I'm still dealing with fear. And fear has really just took over my life. It's controlled me, you know, really controlled my life. But receive peace on today. And as we come back here on Tuesday of next month, second Tuesday of next month, we're going to talk about, we're still going to be hitting on the topic of fear, dealing with the spirit of fear and where that comes from, even more so. How do we overcome it? And then how do we stay free? You know, how do we stay free of this spirit of fear that's not of God, you know, and walk in it and be able to rest. Amen. So you are, Pastor Man of God, going to close out here with us. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God for one more time, you all. Remember, Wednesday nights we have our Bible study. Amen. We're learning so much of Bible study. So we're going to wrap up here talking about fear. Yeah, fear. So Pastor Man is on the line. So Pastor Man, go ahead. We're talking about fear. Could you close us out here as we have 2 minutes left?
Amen. Thank God for a restoration service. You know, we're talking about the spirit of fear. You know, I realized something in my life, you know, when I realized that fear was operating in my life. You know, when fear operates in your life, you know, it has a way of breaking you down. I mean, it breaks you down. Physically, it definitely breaks you down mentally, but it breaks you down physically. You know, when you allow fear, you know, to stay in that place, you know, this is the place where Satan enters in, and this is the place where he can destroy you. So now, anybody that's dealing with fear, you know, this is not just something you can just say, all right, well, I fear today, but I'm not going to fear tomorrow. You know, this is something where you have to use the word of God. You have to use the word of God. And Jesus Christ, you know, when you give him all of this fear that you have, you know, there's an exchange. The exchange is whatever it is that you're fearing, you know, you trust in God, then the exchange is you having faith in the word of God. And when the exchange comes in, that this is where you start looking towards that place of not being in fear anymore and start looking towards Christ Jesus. And you do that daily. You do it daily, you know, every single day until it's out of the way or it's gone. Amen.
Amen, you all. Thank you again for tuning in to Restoration Services again every second Tuesday of the month. Tell a friend or tell somebody about Restoration Service. I hope that all was blessed today in Restoration Service. God bless you. God keep you. I thank God for you. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. Have a good day in the Lord, you all.